Glad to see each and every one of you that are here this evening. If you'd have told me I was going to be doing this a couple years ago, I'd have said, no way. 10 years ago, I wouldn't even never thought about it. But tonight we're going to do our gospel reading in Matthew 5, verse 1 through 20. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecute the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, and if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and be trampled by man. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do you think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets? I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Tonight I want to speak to you a little bit about salt. Does everybody know without salt, and I mean not one bit of salt, you die? We have to have salt, and we crave salt. Well, I heard a little story of a boy who asked his mom if she'd give him a dollar bill if he'd be good. And she says, "Well, why don't you be just like your dad and be good for nothing?" Well, you know, there's a lot of Christians out there today who are exactly that way. They're no good for nothing. Jesus said they're like salt that's lost its savor. They are cast out, good for nothing, but to be trodden under the foot of man. In this message, God called his followers to high standards of conduct. He challenged us to turn the other cheek. He commanded us to love our enemy, to forgive those who do us wrong, and to be sure we act with the purest motives. He said there are two roads, a wide road that leads to destruction, and a narrow one that leads to life. And here in today's gospel verses, he calls those who follow him to choose to be a godly influence on the world in which they live. Those are tough commands God gave us, but I know that we can live by them. Sometimes when we get out and we mess up, it seems like stuff is just going the wrong way. But we got to turn and we got to ask for forgiveness soon and keep going on. You know, a lot of times when there's a puddle of dirty water and you step in it, you know, your next time you're not going to step back in it. Hopefully not. So Jesus clearly expects the world to be transformed by our presence. Hear what Jesus tells us again in Matthew 5:13. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by man." Why did Jesus use the metaphor salt to describe those who would be his followers? For that, we need to look back at the time of the significance of the salt of Jesus' time to understand it. In that society, pure salt was often more valuable than gold. And as a matter of fact, salt was a rare delicacy and often a medium of exchange for money. And that's where we get our name. Salary is from salt. It literally means salt money. And you hear the expression sometimes that a man is worth his salt. Salt was valuable because of what it did. And we are the salt of the earth. And how are we to salt our culture in this day? Salt causes flavor to come alive. And if you turn to Job 6, chapter 6, verse 6. Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? Most people are living bland lives. It's like the bland leading the bland. And that's the reason so many are striving to find some kind of high. There's no excitement and there's no thrill. Their lives are tasteless. And being Christians, we need to be different. We should give flavor and zest to life. And that's the reason the Bible says in Colossians 4 and 6, chapter 4 and verse 6, let your speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt. You know, there should be something exciting about a Christian. You know, when we meet people out in the streets and our neighbors, you know, like I said last time, we may be the only book of the Bible that they'll ever see. And if they don't see it in us, you know, who are they going to see it in? So, again, you know, there's got to be something exciting about each and every one of us when we're out, you know, and still in our house and around our children, and especially our loved ones. There's more interesting facts on salt, and I'm sure some of you probably know a lot of them, but, you know, back in the ancient days, it was traded ounce for gold, like gold, you know. Every ounce of salt was worth an ounce of gold. Kind of tells you how valuable salt was back them days. Our tears and sweat had the same pH level as the ancient oceans back them days. And body cells need salt to function. Sodium helps to transmit signals between our brain cells. So salt acts, you know, a big part of our lives more than what we really think it does just by, in a show, you know, salt in our food and it's all in our food. So salt is valuable because it preserves. When Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee teaching what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, many in his audience were fishermen, and he spoke of being the salt of the earth. Because of their occupation, he knew he was talking about the preserving power of the salt, and in that day, salt prevented decay and restrained corruption. It was necessary to salt the fish to keep it edible. And that's where salvation comes from too, because salt preserved food to keep it edible, thus saving us from starving. So, have you ever got a cut on your hand and then you got salt in it and it stings like fire, doesn't it? And it irritates it. Well, if we turn to Mark chapter 9, verse 49 and 50, everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but it loses its saltiness. And how can you make it salt again? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another. And it suggests that saltiness can be lost specifically through lack of peace with one another. And sometimes when we get out there and we're with our family and sometimes we have arguments and sometimes back when we were younger, probably even fight a lot. And even with our neighbors and stuff. But we got to be at peace. And it's better just to turn the other cheek instead of just, you know, letting it build up inside. And we always got to remember what Jesus would have done. You know, the four letters that was always out there, what would Jesus do? And that's what Jesus would have done. He would have turned the other cheek and he would have made peace. His speech indicated that fire and salt have something in common. Salt burns like fire. Beware that the truth of God's... Let me make sure I'm on the right. Yeah. That the truth of God's word, when rubbed into this diseased world, will sting. You know there are many people who prefer non-irritating brand of the gospel, but the true gospel, when presented, will irritate the sinful world. If there's no offense, there's no effect. Salt has such powerful properties that just a pinch will penetrate an entire gallon of water. In fact, it's one of the few major compounds that dissolve equally well in either hot or cold water. We must get the salt to the source, where it can penetrate, activate, and change society. We need to guard ourselves from becoming a salt warehouse. We need to be salt shakers. And everybody knows what happens to salt when it stays in the salt shaker, right? It gets hard. It probably still has its flavor to it, but it's getting hard. It needs to be shaken out. So let's not be a warehouse for our salt. You know, back when they mined salt back in the quarry or the pits, it was never completely pure. Occasionally, the salt they gathered was so impure that it was never very salty at all. And when that happened, they would cast it out the door and it would harden the pathways to their house and it'd kill the grass. And they even built the roads out of salt back in ancient days. Yeah. When Jesus is saying these verses and that his followers are going to change the world, we have to be pure salt. We have to be the real deal. When Jesus says you are the salt of the earth, Jesus is saying be authentic. Be the real deal. It repels people from coming to know Christ as Savior and the Lord. No, I missed a verse there. An inconsistent lifestyle repels people from the church. It repels people from coming to know Christ as Savior, as our God, our Lord. So how authentic is your walk? Yeah. Are the people around you drawn to faith by your life? Do people who cross your path recognize that there's a difference in the way that you live? Do people, I cannot tell you how many times I've heard someone say that they know somebody that's a Christian, but their life is impure. We may be the only Bible, like I said, that our neighbors truly may ever see. So are you authentic again, or are you the real deal? Or have you let the impure of the world dilute your saltiness? The key to being authentic and the key to being the real is not trying to appear to be perfect. You know, we can't be perfect, so we don't even need to try to be perfect. We just need to be like Christ did the best that we can. And when we mess up, we need to run to the cross and ask for forgiveness. I mean, that's just the basic facts of being a Christian is always has something different about it that they'll see that Christ sees. You know, Christ believes in us and he loves us and he loves the ones that are unsaved too. So it's up to us to get out there and salt their salt and bring them in. And just a simple smile sometimes to people can be a big difference. It really can. Back in ancient Greece times, they had theatrical plays, which we're all familiar with. And back then they had the mask, you know, the mask that they had put on. And back then they didn't have amplifiers and speakers like we have now. But a guy created a little microphone that was inside to where their voices would repel out. And back in those days, the mask they put on portrayed the person that they were acting like. And back then, thus being the hypocrites. There are many people whose lives are nothing more than an act. They play the same role today, and they too are the hypocrites. Let's listen to what Jesus says to us in Matthew chapter 23, 25 through 28. So I was afraid and went out and hid. Let's see. I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. You see, God wants us to change, but he doesn't want us to change superficially. He calls us to be conformed to the image of his son. Christians are to be the good news before they share the good news. Amen. You can always remember, we are all some type of an influence to those in our lives. We're called the salt of the earth, and salt is a seasoning, a preservative, but unless it is brought in contact with another object, its influence is wasted. Salt becomes invisible to have a visible effect. Salt by itself is nothing more than fine particles, and in that state it is worthless. But when it is rubbed into meat or added to foods, it becomes invisible and then becomes what is intended for the influence in the flavor. Each and every one of us is always having a visible effect on the world. And are you influencing the flavor of those that God sends you? Salt just sits in the shaker is of no use. It's much like believers who have become complacent, who no longer share grace, who refuse to take a moral stand, and who refuse to share their faith. They're just sitting in a shaker. Again, are you authentic, or are you the real deal, or are you wearing a mask? Are you too often playing the role of the hypocrites? Is your salt sitting on the shelf, or are you in contact with and bringing flavor to those that God has sent you? Something to really think about it. What you say and do influence those that God puts in your life. You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. Today is the day to dedicate or rededicate your life to the Lordship of Jesus. Went a little faster than what I thought, but I'll get better at it. But today, you know, the salt is, like I said, it just means so much to our lives that back in the early days when man was created, you know, mining salt, just to think that it ounce for ounce for, you know, like gold, that's salt must have been really something. And it must not have been around very much, kind of like what gold is today. You know, just a little bit of it. And it's amazing, you know, if anybody's really ever studied up on salt, it's very valuable back then, but today it's everywhere. So we got to ask ourselves, are we being salt shakers for the earth today? Or are we just sitting in our salt shaker and sitting on the shelf? I want to be a salt shaker. I want to get off the shelf. I want somebody that's out there and everybody that's out there wants to know that there's something different about me. Something about you that would be different and smiling. That's what they need and that's what they want. That's not possibly going to get them here in church, but it's a good start. Finally, you know, eventually they're going to ask, boy, there's something different about you. Just, you know, what is it that's different? And then that gives us a chance and the opportunity to speak to them about Christ. You know, some people out there, when you start speaking about Christ, they just, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I've heard it all the time. But all we can do is just keep being a good witness to them and a good, you know, somebody that they like to talk to. So a lot of times when people mess up and they say bad stuff, you can encourage them with some good words. And that sometimes it helps. You know, but I've come across a lot of people who just do not want to hear about the Bible. You know, and it's sad, but if they know the consequences that comes after, then that's fine. They got to realize that there's going to be a punishment for them. And that's when we just need to keep standing up and be joy that, you know, we're going somewhere where we don't have to worry about nothing no more. You know, we don't have to worry about making sure our air conditioners work, if it's going to keep us cool or heaters are going to keep us warm. You know, God's going to have it all figured out for us. And that's where I want to go. Amen. I definitely want to go there. Well, I didn't make it last too long, but I hope that was it's a big enlightenment that, you know, and it was to me when I prayed about it. I had something else that I was going to give, you know, was going to preach, but then this one came up. And I thought, you know, salt, that really means a lot. You know, I learned a lot that I didn't know about it. So I hope it has. And I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I hope to do it again and get a little bit better at it. Get a little bit nervous up here, but it's all right. I know I'll get better at it. Not used to speaking for, what was it, 15 minutes. But, Pastor, that's all I got. I tried, and next time I'll try to do it for at least 30 minutes.